Oh, it's good. I like it.
Apprenticeship is dead in America. Don't let it be dead, you know. Find somebody, make them, force them to learn. Come here, kid. Watch me do this.
Oh, man. Tell the kids, my kids, you know, the horror stories of growing up by, you know, my dad. I was no different than any other kid. When our dad said, come here, help me with it, I'm like, oh, how long is this going to be? Probably forever, the rest of my life. Terrible job, you know. And I remember my mom's house. It's got a propane furnace and this big propane tank. The line is forever long. It goes clear across this. Gonna get some. We're not gonna get equipment, are we? There's some shovels. I was like, oh man, oh, there's all kinds of, you know, and filling potholes. We had a long driveway, you know, and I say, hey, get down there and fill that pothole. It's like, which one? The thing's like a quarter mile long, and I was like, fill it in and be knocked out again. You know, I think about every time I drive out of Palmer and the road's tore up across the bridge, and I was like, oh man, fill that thing in. You know, my brother's name is Nate, so we're a K&N road repair. So that was get out there and fill the potholes. But it's good. There's no other way to learn. I promise you, you're not born with this set of smarts. Like, I got this. I know how to do it. No, you got to learn, and you may as well learn from somebody that you know than some pile on YouTube that's 22 and did a quarter of college or half a semester and just, you know, knows where the library's at, never learned a thing, never did anything, never learned anything. I was reading Mike Rowe, I think it's Mike Rowe, does dirty jobs. That guy, he is awesome. He's just an awesome guy. But he just has a burden for people to learn trade, you know? I mean, because there's so many people. I mean, our nation's full of people with paper, but it's just like, what can you do? Not a whole lot, you know. I'm a liberal arts person. I'm just like, it's hard to eat liberal arts sometimes, you know. It's like, what if they don't want your art, you know, and they don't want your liberal? Then it's like, hey, you know, you're stuck. But, man, if you know electrical or something like that, but amen. I'm glad Abigail played for us tonight. First time changing out brake pads on the truck. You know, dad said, make sure you pump the brakes. So I thought that meant you just push the brakes in, you know, just push them in. So I was like, go ahead and back the truck up. Well, we're out, you know, garage is on a hill. Down the hill I went, down through the fence and down into the pasture. And I missed the pine trees, didn't kill any of my siblings. And I was just like, oh, my soul. I had that thing. I mean, I could have, I was strong enough to bend the steering wheel, I would have. But I just imagined how it wasn't stopping. And I, you know, we were doing brake pads the other day on the truck. I was telling Nolan that story, or our mom's rig. And I said, you pump that baby, you know, pump her up. And I said, you can watch it, you know, squeeze that caliper. And I said, it's not that hard, all right? I mean, just like a bicycle, it's got them, it grabs them, and you just teach them, take time to teach them those things. And sometimes you think you're wasting your time. A lot of times you think, I could do this faster if I didn't have somebody smaller with me. But hey, you gotta pass those things on. And it's very important to do that. And some of you probably may even have a gift to do that, and you just don't know it yet. So Hebrews chapter 11 tonight, we're going to be in Genesis, but we got to start in Hebrews tonight. We talked about truth last week, and we're going to go through, I think we're going to, I've been praying for a month. I knew that Romans eventually is going to run out of chapters. I mean, it's how the Bible works, you know. And I said, man, where do I want to go? What do I want to do? And I want to make sure we're hitting a lot of truths that we need today. And again, the Bible's full of them. You're not going to miss them reading somewhere and not reading somewhere else, or teaching somewhere and not teaching somewhere else. But just making sure we have our young people this all with us on Sunday nights, you know, making sure we're getting truths about creation, about a lot of the things from the Word of God that are attacked today, swipes taken out today, and then just all out trying to take out the Word of God and trying to drain faith from people of faith. And we want to strengthen that as much as we can. And we're going to start in Hebrews because there's a really good verse in here. And then we're going to go back to the beginning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Father, we do pray that you'd help us tonight. We love you. And Lord, you know what we need. And I pray that you would show us exactly what it is tonight. You'd help us. Give us strength from your word. Give us confidence, Father, in what we see. Help our hearts with it, Lord.
And we'll surely thank you. Also, think of Jonathan tonight, Lord. He's mentioning a long stretch of long days strung together here for work. And just pray that you keep him safe, Lord, in that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Verse 2, forbind the elders obtained a good report. So we are told that faith has substance, and it's referred to verse 2 as an it. So it means there's something to it. Somebody said, oh, faith. No, there's substance there. It's an it. There is something to it. And verse 3 is the one I wanted to get at. Through faith, we understand. Drives liberals crazy. You mean you just believe it and you can't prove it? Yep. Yep, because there's no way. There's no way. You could want to prove some things in this world and you'll never prove them. I mean, you still can't prove what your tonsils are for all the time. I mean, there's stuff that are so, I mean, yeah, we think, we know, we practice, we do this, and they can't prove it. There's no way. Adipose fin on a fish. You'll say, oh, that was just the evidence. No, it's not. God put it there. So he knew we were going to have hatchery programs, and we had to have a way to have hatchery distinguished from wild. We just cut that little lobe off, and we'd have. He just knew. I just tease him. But anyways, nothing is wasted. Nothing is an extra. Nothing is. Well, that's where your tail fell off, and that's what you're left with there. No. None of that stuff. On the flip side, he said you don't have to prove the Bible to God. You have to believe the Bible to God and live a life like you believe it. That is what you have to do. They go back and, oh, I got friends, I got questions. I can't answer. God has the answers. God has the answers. Everything, I mean, going to secular university, doing biology, doing science, stuff like that. There's so much circular reasoning goes on, make your head spin. You just walk out and say, I did not learn enough there. Or, You get alone with somebody alone, not in front of a class full of students, and you really figure out what they believe. And it's not half as what you think it was. It's like, okay, yeah, you don't think this is this, you don't think this. Well, why don't you tell people that? Why don't you just come out and say that? And be strong in that. And it's frustrating. But the Bible says, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Right? However long it took the rover unit or whatever to get to Mars, tweeting its way there, and what an accomplishment! I mean, God made the whole earth, and we're like sending a sailboat down a creek for 20 feet, being like, "Yes, yes, look, we did it!" High five! That only cost $90 trillion. High five! He framed all of it. He made everything, says by the word of God. Listen, I mean, he spoke and it happened. God didn't say, boy, I hope this cosmic dust shows up because we're really needed to happen here in the next quadrillion years, or otherwise nobody's ever going to believe. No. He just spoke. He spoke, and that's where we're headed. But I want to really impress upon you, you do not have to prove anything when it comes to origin. You just got to open the word. That's in right here. The things that we see support what he says. They don't contradict anything that comes from the written word. The Bible says this is very important. The last part too. He crafts this whole thing and eliminates so many arms of science. It's amazing. I mean, there's a lot of money spent on buildings and science departments to house all the transitional fossils that don't exist. I hope they find someday, and house all this and have all this stuff. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Made by something you don't see. It was made by God. It was made by his word speaking. Oh, but it came from this. Everything had to come. No, God made it from nothing. It goes against our thinking, our finite, just simple thinking. Like, man, I got to believe. I believe he put it here. And science, I mean, there's laws in science, but they're his laws. We got Charles Boyle's gas laws, but God made them according to his laws. It's just that he figured out how they work a little bit and that we can teach it. It was amazing in going from studying science to teaching science and reading the Christian school curriculums and things and doing the history behind some of these guys and just saying, man, common theme, they believed in a creator. Not evolutionist. I mean, they're not coming up with these laws that everybody's using and things that have been taught over and over. They perpetuate their stuff, but it's not, physics. Although physics laws, a lot of these things, but when God gave these men and ladies wisdom, and they were able to make these breakthroughs in science, things that we're able to use. And it's because they came from a biblical perspective. I believe, that is what I believe, they came from a biblical side that God made everything. God, show us how this works. There's electricity out there. It's there in the air, you know. And praise God that Ben Franklin didn't get destroyed hanging a kite with a string and a key on it. But everybody else that tried it, you know, I should have had that disclaimer on, don't try this on the farm, you know. It would have been at home. Don't try this on the farm. The next guy puts his up and gets electrocuted to death, you know, in a lightning storm. But came up with a lightning rod. I mean, just smart people. How? Why? And looking, but understanding, boy, God's made, he has made all of these things. And he's done these things. But verse 3, through faith we understand. Through faith we understand. We're going to go over to the very first chapter of the Word of God, Genesis 1. We're going to wait in just a little bit. We won't get real far tonight. We want to leave time for the rest of our service tonight. But we want to take a look at it here. Very important. Very important. That we see these things. Origin. Where people come from. Where stuff come from. And if it's a big, long story, it's probably not true. It's pretty short. It's probably closer to the truth. That God made everything. I have here written in my Bible, Genesis 1 could be the first verse of the chapter, and it could be the last verse of the chapter. It's just one of those verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning. Beginning of what? The beginning of whatever God wanted it to be. What was it like? I don't know. Nobody else does but God. That's why we have to have His Word. It's so simple. It's like, no, we can think separate from God, and we can come up with our own. No, it's not going to be accurate. And it has to work. It has to work for all people groups. That's one of my other things. You know, whenever somebody comes up like, oh, this is new, you got to read this guy's stuff, you got to read this lady's stuff. That's a word at work, and especially in, you know, church type stuff, goofy stuff. I mean, they'll say, it's like, no. For example, Latter-day Saints, it's like, okay, all right. You have this now, but what about all the people back here that believe that didn't believe like you believe? See, in our system, everybody has a chance to believe in the same God. Everybody in the same God has the same Word of God. It wasn't just this one set of people in this one set of time and just ultra bizarre, weird circumstances and goofiness, the strangeness to it. No, everybody has to have that same opportunity because God's not a God saying, well, everybody else, but just this group over here is going to have a chance. I don't believe that. We all have a chance to believe that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, the Bible says, the earth was without form. Without form and void. The Bible says, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It's important we don't have a lot of messages where we just focus on the Trinity. But when we look at the Trinity, we see that the Trinity works together. And in creation, we see God. In John 1, we see in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. And so we see in John 1 that we have the Word of God. We have God the Father. We have the Spirit of God all working together to create all things. Not just one, but them working together. The Bible says the earth was without form and void. Void of stuff, void of people, void of things. I mean, it was void. And I envisioned it like what you could see a planet. It has nothing on it. I mean, it's just stuff, you know. And they said if it was dark and the sun wasn't shining on it, could it be like that? It could be whatever God wanted it to be. Because He could just speak and have it be. I mean, you study, just looking at a human cell, what goes into one cell And to think about how many cells are dying off your body just by the time we get done preaching tonight, it'll just blow your mind. It's just unbelievable. God remakes you completely every 7 years. You completely recycle all. I mean, you just go through. It's all new. Again and again and again. And inside every one of those cells, a roadmap, how you were made. All your stuff. Fit into stuff you can't even, well, how can you believe it? You can't see it. I can't believe it. I can't see what goes on the inside. And God, the Bible says, without form and void, He made it what it was going to be. He knew what it was going to be. Knew all these things. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. All this plan was in place. He wasn't going on the fly. He knew exactly what was going to happen. The Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3, and God said, I have underlined everywhere in the first chapter, just because I was, I don't know, one time I was studying, I was just curious, all the verses where God said, made, called, spoke, whatever, underline it. It's just, there's nobody else. didn't ask Adam to do anything. He's not there yet, right? It's just God. Just God speaking, God creating, God making, God saying all throughout the chapter. God said, let there be light, and there was light. When you, you're taking for by faith the word of God, and somebody says, well, how do you know? Because God said it. And when God speaks, it happens. And the things that He doesn't say exactly when it's going to happen just means you don't know when it's going to happen, but mark it down. It's going to happen. Well, the rapture hasn't happened yet, so what's that mean? It's going to happen. Because He said it's going to happen. He took chapters of the Bible and talked about it. It's coming. It's going to happen. That's why we need to be ready. It's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. Well, how do you know what's going to happen? I don't know. I don't go to bed and I think, oh, I wish you would. I need to be ready because I know it's going to happen. He didn't ask me to help Him make everything. So I never said, you don't need to know these things, right? Don't worry about it. Just trust me. Trust me. And so many people in Scripture, their testimony was, listen to this man speak. Do what he says, right? Because in there, they knew what he says is going to come to pass. He said, let there be light. I can turn on a light switch, right? I can do that, but I am borrowing electrons. I am. They're getting generated. I can trace them to where they're coming from. I used to stand out on the transformer deck on one of them down and just, and it just buzzes and hums. I mean, it's loud. It's just, when a unit turns on, there's ten turbine units in each one of the projects. Our office, we sat. They were started the the heads on those things. They were like on the floor 4, and we were up on, I think we were up on 6. We were 2 floors up. But man, when them things turned on, your desk moved. I mean, everything just kind of, and you just got used to it. But you're in the, I thought, one of the coolest office seats. I just sat on a powerhouse, looking out into a tail race. I mean, on the Columbia River. I said, this is the coolest. You know, I mean, the big offices, right? They put all the plebes down in the basement or whatever, you know, and the CEO sits up in the corner office looking out, and he either gets to see the hill, the sunshine, the mountains, or the whatever. I said, this is cool. I said, we're the plebes, but we get to sit up in the cool spot, right? All those electrons, they just come from, no. They're just right here. Water comes in here, goes down in a hole, hits turbine plate. That thing spins, and we're generating, and I mean, they're always working. Called it the project. They're always working to keep that thing going. Why? Because this man-made is going to break eventually, right? Always doing maintenance. Everything was scheduled to get fixed, but those things didn't come just out of nowhere, right? We knew where they were coming from, but God could make it come out of nowhere. Not a thing. Didn't need anything to make things. Well, I've just got to travel from here to there and gather everything. No. Whenever you think like, I created this, I made this with borrowed stuff, or I bought this stuff and I made this thing, but I didn't create it out of nothing. God has that ability. But I do believe, I truly believe this, creativity is a gift that God has given. And that is why it is, you know, some of these world views and thoughts that stifle creativity are so damaging to your who you are as a person, what God has done. Like, I'm not talking about besides salvation, besides these things that God's given us as gifts. He gives you the ability, he's given you gifts. And if you live in a society where that's squelched, because there's no motivation to know it because you're the same as everybody else and you're not special, there's nothing unique about you, you're just a number, you're just this, and in your mind it's you're nothing. And those gifts that God has made for you to create or to do just never come to light. You never see it. When the kids make something, they're saying, that's awesome, that's great. On the flip side, I'm not the parent that pins everything to the wall. I'm just not. Why? Because I know something better is coming. I'll look at stuff I made 2 years ago in the shop and I'll be like, oh, my soul, I can't believe I sold that. I can't believe people paid money for that. Throw that away. It's like, and I know a few years from now, I'm going to look back and say, man, I can't believe I made that. I can't. Because I'm not satisfied or happy with just what is now. I know God is working always, and he gives you the ability to think, to make, create art. I mean, people that do art stuff, I'm not saying, when I talk about liberal arts, I've poked that. I have a lot of friends that do those kind of things, but I mean, it was so ingrained to me, you needed to work and you needed to be able to work and do something. But I mean, there's a museum in Seattle, Chihuly Art, the Chihuly Glass Blowing Museum. You ever watch people blow glass? I mean, there's a one-eyed guy down with the eye patch, and he's got a glass blowing school, and they'll blow these shapes. I mean, there's some of them in the airport. I think there's a chunk of the airport that has it. But I mean, they have a bridgeway, archway that goes over the highway that's full of this glass, balls of a shape. And I mean, it takes people, like teams of people, to blow this glass, and they get them on these big rods, and they're stirring them. And it's just like, I can't even imagine how to, it's impressive to me. It's interesting to me. Now, in the end, you made sand hot and you made it into something. I mean, in the end, that's what you have. But they have that ability in them to create. That comes from God. Whether they give God the glory for it or not, that's up to them. But that creativity, I believe, as the ultimate creator, puts that in us to create and to make and to come up with these ideas. God said, let there be light. And there was light. We love light. I love light. I mean, I like it. I just so get so excited about sunshine, and I like the dark too. But I love Alaska. I don't come up in dread, and you get people, and I was like, it's okay. You'll be all right. And I don't even know if they will be, but I think, people have been okay. You can do this, but light is a blessing. It's great. It's a gift. Other people go out, sit, stare at the sun because they haven't seen it in however many months, and it's there it is. Something that God made. Verse 4, God saw the light, that it was good. Now think about that a little bit there, right? God saw the light. So did God have light before that light was made? He said, let there be light. He saw it and said, that's good. Like it. Was God in the dark? How did all that? There's some things that you just see like, hey, I don't know. I don't know, but I do know God made it. God said it was good, so therefore it must have been good. Because again, I'm understanding it by faith. I'm believing it. I'm taking God at his word. The Bible says in verse number 4, God divided the light from the darkness. Divided the light from the darkness. Now, we know in Scripture, in the scriptural application, the difference between light and darkness, right? And I don't know, God divided it. There's a difference between the two. We don't try to mix things that God has separated. I know that is a super important thing in Scripture. We don't want to say, oh, this is light when it's dark, or say, this is darkness when it isn't darkness. It's, in fact, light. God has divided these things. He's put boundaries on these things. He has separated these things for us and for a reason. And God says in verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, I'll say this. I don't know if we get any further tonight. You can take the Word of God exactly as it is here on the page, and you are just fine. You don't have to have 6 degrees from school to understand any more of Genesis 1 than what somebody that just has the Word of God has in whatever country of the world. You don't have to have taken somebody's creation theory mixed with evolution theory and mix some of this in and be a more informed Christian. That's do that. There's people that believe. There's a lot of Christians. They just, you know, they got people or whoever. They think, well, God could have made the world and let her sit for a bunch of years and then started to do stuff, and that would prove how. I don't think so. When he said the evening and the morning were the first day, I don't think it's, well, the day is 1,000 years. That could have been 1,000 years, Brother Joe. I don't think it was. I don't think so. I think God can do it. Again, sailboat down the creek. Yay! That's us. God's like, yeah, I made the creek, and I made the mountain where all that snow's out. And it comes down the creek, all that stuff, and we're just, wow, look at us, man. We made, you know, we made something that didn't get destroyed by God's creation, and we're excited about it. But God has said what he separated, he gave it names, and he said the evening and the morning were the first day. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. Water below, water above, firmament in between. Okay? Now, when you sometimes in the Bible, you have to really read and look, because some of it's over here and some of it's over here. Because God, this is the Word of God. This is the Bible. This isn't written so Keith could understand how Keith wants to understand and have it in his order and all these things. You'll find one verse in Genesis, the Bible talks that the earth was divided in the day of Peleg, and you say, well, what's it talking about? Then you go to science class and you see continents broken up, but you put enough puzzles together and you look and said, I could see how those could fit. Preacher, could those have fit together? Like, yeah. The Bible says when the flood came, that the waters of the deep were busted. They broke up. Water came up. Water came down. I mean, you talk about the earth filling, how huge this earth is. And it filled in days. It was just, I mean, there's no stopping. They say, where did all that water come from? Well, there's water coming from above. There's water coming from below. Hey, if it was all one chunk, hey, that's okay. That doesn't change anything I do today. I'm going to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's okay. It's interesting. It's great. Well, the Bible says here, that's what God did, that there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. All right. Good. Wonderful. God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And we'll stop at verse 8 tonight. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. He's going just days, day, day, day. They say it really is important when we look at that, because eventually on one of these days, he's going to create people. And he's going to create animals. He's going to create birds. He's going to create fish. And it's really good to pay attention to those things, because in evolutionary timelines, they get it backwards and they get it wrong, because they say, well, these had to come first. But that's not what happened in the scriptures. That's not what happened in the Bible. These came first. Fish came on day 5. Then the birds, right? Not the other way around. It's and it's important. It's so simple. It's so simple. I have to prove it? No. The Bible says understanding by faith. Understand. That's why we started Hebrews tonight. So you can understand these things. People take a hack at your faith, right? By trying to tell you some other things. So young people, you get on, you're watching something, you're watching Wildcats, or you're watching something else. Anytime somebody gets on and says, well, for trillions of years, okay, you can just know the next thing that's coming is going to be something that didn't come from Genesis 1. Something, right? They may tell you something true about an animal that is true, but they can't prove and say, well, trillions of years ago, this thing used to look like. They don't know that. They do not know that. All they know is there's an animal. He's there today. May have this trait. There's no scientist out there that said, put your life on it that you know that there's not another critter out there that you haven't found yet. Do it. Put your reputation. You're saying, you're a claimer. There's nothing out there that we don't know about. Do it. None of them will do that. Not a one. But we're so smart. We don't even know if we found all the critters yet. Think about that. That's crazy. I like seeing that stuff. It comes on a bit. Anytime there's a FISH in the news, I read it just about. You know, they found this thing, and this thing washed up on the beach. I'm like, oh, that's terrible. You know, some creature died down in the deep, or I mean, you see the sunfish, you know, every once in a while they wash up on the beach. They got manatees freezing down in the Gulf, washing up on beaches now and stuff. I'm like, what's happened to that? They're like just frozen, Texas. Don't you pay attention to the weather? It's like, that's got to mess. All the things in the aquatic ecosystem are super sensitive. I mean, you change things just a couple degrees and they're just like, fisher, boop, can't do it. You know, they're wimpy when it comes to that. It's got to be just right. But it's amazing stuff. It's stuff that God has done. And let your confidence be in Him. Let your confidence be in the Word of God. Let's stand tonight. We're going to have a song invitation. Then we're going to, after we have the invitation, we're going to sit back down. And then we're going to continue with what we need to do tonight. I need thee every hour is 97 tonight. I need thee every hour. Altar's open. We can come and pray as we normally would on a regular invitation tonight.